Any more questions about the acid-base ABG interpretation? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so the way to tell if it's complete or partial is you look back at the pH. If the pH is within the normal range of 7.35 to 7.45, it's complete. If it's higher or lower, then it's partial. Fernanda?
Never mind.
Okay. All right.
Wait, is that correct?
Say again? Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Okay, so here are the directions as we wrote them down on the board with a little bit more explanation. So when you go home and work some more, you can have that there. You'll have Dr. Heyman in the background saying, "Are you sure?" All right. And there's some additional. Once you run out of the ones on the worksheet, there's some additional ones on here that you can also work. All right, now, putting it all together. First of all, where does an arterial blood gas come from? From an artery. Now, do we normally stick arteries? Yeah. So usually when a person goes in the hospital, if they have something in a blood vessel, what type of blood vessel is it in? A vein. Now, when we stick an artery, is there any risks involved there? Yeah, what risks are there? Okay, bleeding. The arterial side is under a lot more pressure than the venous side. So there's a risk that blood will just start spurting like a little fountain. Psst, psst, psst. That's not fun, is it? No. So to prevent that from happening, what do we need to do?
Apply pressure.
So we're going to apply pressure for a longer period of time until we're sure that the bleeding has stopped. Now, what is arteries supposed to do? What do arteries do? Get oxygenated blood to the tissue. So if you're sticking a needle or a catheter into an artery, what could you possibly be blocking? Oxygen flow to the tissues. So before you ever do that, you want to check for what's called collateral circulation. So, how many arteries do we have coming down to the hand? Two big ones. Well, they're called the one that we normally take the pulse in is called the radial, and the other one is called the ulnar. So what you want to do before you ever stick a person for an arterial blood gas, usually that's stuck in the radial artery, what you would do is you would test what we call collateral circulation. So what you do is you push down on both the arterial, on the ulnar and the radial. You have the person squeeze their hand. Now it becomes more pale. And then what you do is you let go of the ulnar side and see if it comes pink again. If so, that means the ulnar artery is getting enough blood to the tissue by itself. So that's called checking for collateral circulation. Now, that's not patho. That's really nursey stuff. So you're not going to be tested on that in this class. But it helps to hear it now. All right, so putting the whole thing together. Always pay attention to the patient history, especially in your test questions. Just because there's an electrolyte balance may be caused by a certain thing, if it's not in that patient's history, probably isn't being caused by it. So if you have a patient who comes in with vomiting, and I say, what's the most likely cause of their alkalosis? You would say, vomiting up. So if they've got alkalosis, it would be vomiting up acid. If the patient has acidosis, and they come in vomiting, chances are they're vomiting up bicarb. So remember, that's the tricky thing with vomiting. It can go either way. So pay attention to the patient history. Look at their vital signs. Yeah. If a person has respiratory acidosis, What kind of breathing pattern might you see? Might be lower than normal. If a person has respiratory alkalosis, what kind of breathing pattern would you see? Faster. Take a look at their vital signs. If they're hemorrhaging, they might have a lower blood pressure, and what kind of pulse? Higher. Look at their symptoms and physical exam findings, because this will also tell you things about what's going on with them. And then the lab values complete the picture. A lot of times when we first start learning, we think the lab values are the patient, but they're a reflection of what's going on with the patient. They should help you to explain what's going on, but they're not the only thing there. So we want to always make sure we take the whole patient into account. Now, always ask these two questions. What is causing this abnormal finding, and then what can be done to fix it? So, let me ask you a couple questions. If a patient is dehydrated, what would you do to fix them? You'd give them water. Now, if they are dehydrated with a sodium level of 148, what kind of fluid would you want to give? Like, well, that's not fair, Dr. Heyman. Say again?
148, you said?
Well, sodium of 148. So first of all, is that high or low?
That's high.
That's high. So what kind of fluid would we give them?
Hypotonic
solution. So either pure water by mouth or IV, D5W, or half normal saline. All right. You've got a patient who's dehydrated and they've got a sodium level of 132. Okay, so that's, you'd give them normal saline. Now, they've got a sodium level of 130 and they're beginning to have tremors and seizures.
IV
what? Well, we're just talking sodium right now. Sodium is 130, and the patient's having seizures. You would give them 3% saline, just to get them a little bit up, and then you would switch them to normal saline. All right, as far as what's causing this, what caused the person to be dehydrated in the first place? Were they bleeding? Were they just stupid and not drink enough water? Do they have an underlying problem that's causing them to pee too much? Are they on diuretics? You know, what is their urine output? So you want to always ask, what's causing this, or what could be causing it, and then how do I fix it? If you're able to answer those two questions, we'll do just fine on the midterm. Yeah. Promises, promises. All right. And again, here's our chart of fluids. And we're going to talk a little bit more detail about some of these fluids. So the purpose of IV fluids, we have two reasons. One is maintenance. This means prevent problems. So if oral intake is not adequate, we can give them maintenance fluids. If a person is going to be NPO because they're going to go to surgery, you can give them fluids, and that way they don't have to take something by mouth. Now, why would we want them to be NPO before surgery? Okay, one is so they don't throw up. But what are we about to do when we do the surgery on them? If we give them general anesthesia, what's going to happen to their gut? It's going to slow down and stop. So do we want to put a bunch of water in there, even if it's just water? No. So what we want to do is we want that gut to be already kind of empty and sleeping. We can also use fluids to replace fluid when losses have already occurred. So the D5W provides 170 calories of water, or 170 calories per liter. Not going to make you remember that, but it's helpful to know. It essentially provides free water because the glucose is taken up into the blood, and then you just have water floating around. That water is most likely going to move out of the blood vessel into the interstitial fluid, and from the interstitial fluid into the intracellular fluid. So giving D5W is a good way to hydrate a person's cells. It will also increase renal excretion of water in general. This is wrong. There. It's used to treat hypernatremia. Next, we have normal saline or isotonic saline. No calories. It actually has slightly more sodium chloride in it than your plasma. About 30% of it is going to stay in the intravascular fluid, and about 70% of it is going to move out of the intravascular space into the interstitial space and intracellular. So more of it will stay in the blood than not. Now, if a person has low blood pressure, say their blood pressure is like 85 over 65, how are we going to treat that patient? We're going to give them fluid. And what fluid are we going to give them? Normal saline. Normal saline is used to support low blood pressure. If there's a car crash and paramedics come on the scene and the person looks like they're in shock or they're pale, what are they going to give them? Normal saline. If someone comes in the emergency room and they're having a hemorrhage, what are we going to give them? Normal saline. So the answer for any hypotensive crisis is always going to be normal saline. Normal saline is also the most compatible with the most drugs.
What isn't it?
I don't know. What? Hypotension. Did I say hypertensive?
No.
I didn't. I did. I'll say it again for posterity. So, normal saline is the go-to solution for hypotensive crisis. Okay. All right. Normal saline continues. It expands the IV volume. Yes, yes. We already talked about that. Now, one of the risks is you can fluid overload a person by giving them too much. It also does not change intracellular fluid volume. We use it for blood products. It's the only thing you're allowed to mix with blood products, like packed red blood cells, and it is compatible with most medications. Lactated ringers. It's isotonic. It's more similar to plasma than normal saline. It has a little bit less sodium chloride. It also has some potassium, some calcium, some phosphate, and lactate, which will convert into bicarb. It is contraindicated in lactic acidosis. So patients who have heart failure or have any risk for shock, you never give those people lactated ringers. Say again? Heart failure or at risk for shock. Why heart failure? The reason is because in heart failure, what's the next step if heart failure gets a little bit worse?
Shock.
So heart failure can turn into shock if it gets worse. So that's why we don't give it to people who have heart failure or lactic acidosis, or at risk for lactic acidosis. And it will expand the extracellular fluid. Our hypertonic solutions. First one is D5 in half normal saline. It's a very common maintenance fluid for patients who need hypertonic solution. You can also add potassium chloride to it if you need to supplement potassium. And then D10W is hypertonic, and it is the max concentration of dextrose that we can give in a peripheral vein. If we give more, we'll start to kill the vein cells. So if we need to give more glucose concentration, we give it in a, what kind of artery? Or not artery, what kind of vein? Central vein. Because there's more blood going through a central vein, it dilutes it more quickly so it doesn't damage the tissue. It provides free water plus 340 calories per liter. The plasma expanders, we talked a little bit about these yesterday. They stay in the intravascular space. They do not move out because they're too big. So they stay in the blood and they increase osmotic pressure. In the case of packed red blood cells, they also increase the red blood cell number, which increases the amount of oxygen the blood can carry. So that brings us to an important point. If you have someone who's hemorrhaging, what two problems are they having? Okay. Well, they've lost blood cells, so they can't carry oxygen as well, but they've also lost volume, which means they're going to have low blood pressure and they can't drive what little blood there is. So we've got to fix both problems. Which one do we fix first? Do we fix the volume pressure, or do we fix the packed red blood or the red blood cell problem? We fix volume first, stabilize blood pressure first, because even the lowered amounts of blood, the lower amounts of oxygen, can still keep a person alive as long as you can get it moving around the body. So you start with fixing the volume. What do we use for that? Normal saline. Then you move to fixing the oxygen problem, and we use packed red blood cells for that. You can do them both at the same time, but like usually, like say if there's a car accident. On the scene, the paramedics are going to give oxygen. When they get to the hospital, they'll give blood. All right, you can give fresh frozen plasma, which again contains albumin plus immunoglobulins plus clotting factors. And dextran is kind of like, it's a starch that acts like albumin in terms of increasing plasma osmotic pressure. All right, we are done with the electrolytes acid base. What we can do, if you like, is we can do question and answer for the next hour or so. All right, so you want to do some electrolyte questions? All right, hit me.